Happy Gaudete Sunday. Happy Sunday of rejoicing. This is Rose Sunday of Advent, not Pink Sunday. Of that, today we are rejoicing because we have reached the halfway point of Advent. That Christmas is truly close at hand. That we are about to celebrate the birth of our Savior. It gives us a moment to pause and to reflect. That in today's world, there's this idea that's prevalent now that religion hinders one's freedom. That religion cramps one's lifestyle. That it's an oppressive force. That some people are ashamed to talk about religion to each other, to their friends. That some believe their reputation would suffer a big blow if it were known that they had a strong faith. And so they hide it. That some people would rather laugh with sinners than to cry with saints. In fact, far from hindering us or cramping us in any way, living with a strong faith in God brings us true happiness and joy that we cannot find anywhere else. That's why Paul goes and writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." Or as another translation has it, "I want you to be happy, always happy in the Lord. I repeat, what I want is your happiness." Notice that where does he say we will find this happiness? Where we will be able to rejoice, have that joy. That he goes and says that it will be in the Lord. That we will find our happiness, find our joy by living out the Christian life. By living out the life of the sacraments. Living out the commandments and the beatitudes. The joy and happiness in the Lord that we celebrate today by lighting the rose candle, by myself wearing rose, that we go and symbolize that joy that we are to have in Christ. That we go and think of the many times Jesus is joyful and happy in the Gospels. That Jesus doesn't feel cramped or hindered. Not according to what we read in the Gospels. That Jesus goes and even says, "I have told you this so that my own joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." That Jesus was indeed joyful and he wanted his disciples to share in his joy. That's why he says, "I have told you this." It's why he has gone out and preached the good news so that his joy may be in us and our joy may be complete. That Jesus, you can go and look, he attended many dinners, many parties given for him. You can think of the one given to him by Matthew after he was called to be that apostle, that one of those first bishops by our Lord. Or you can think of Zacchaeus holding that party when he met and converted his life, had that conversion in following the Lord. Or of how the Pharisees invited him over to dinners in an effort to try to entrap him. But they still had dinners nonetheless and had that celebration. Or you can think of there's that dinner at Lazarus' house of Martha and Mary. Or you can think of the wedding at Cana where Jesus goes and changes 120 to 180 gallons of water into wine. An enormous amount of wine. And it's not just the enormous amount of wine, it is wine of the best vintage. And that he goes and does that because we have to remember that a wedding celebration lasted for a week at that time. It's why they needed so much wine for the party. It was a week of celebrating the marriage. And so we need to go and look then, what is it that we can do to have this joy, to have the peace of the Lord in our lives? We go and look at what John the Baptist tells the people. That three times the people come to John the Baptist, various groups of people asking him, "What should we do?" And each time John the Baptist tells them to give something up, not to be greedy, to live out the life of the commandments, not to practice sin, but to practice the life of holiness. Of that, our journey of conversion is a journey from wanting and being greedy and possessive to becoming unselfish. That we love ourselves less and we love the other more. That we go and want to lay down our life as our Savior did for others. That we want to imitate that great love of God, having that charity, that caritas. having that unselfish love for the other. That this journey John the Baptist asks us to go on, the journey that we're challenged to make this Advent, is so that we will have true joy and happiness to celebrate at Christmas, rather than just simply that Santa Claus is coming to town. That we get to celebrate the birth of our Savior. That our Savior came into the world because God the Father so loved us, so that we could be redeemed from our sins, redeemed from a life of death and sin, so we may have that great promise of eternal life. That when we go and turn our lives back on sin, follow the Lord, it doesn't mean that we'll never fall again. We all know that's true, that we all still commit sins, that it's not like we flipped the switch and we no longer struggled with sin. We're not God. We are human. We have that fallen human nature, that concupiscence, that inclination to sin that we all struggle with. That because of that, because we still fall, we still commit sin, even as we're trying to follow God's law, follow His will in our lives. That's why we have the sacrament of penance, that we can go to the confessional, receive God's mercy and grace again in our lives, be restored to that relationship with God, that we can go again, journeying along His path, following His will, having that grace and peace and joy in our lives. Yes, we will have troubles and problems as long as we live, but we can have that inner peace, that joy in the Lord, find our happiness in Jesus Christ. And we find two of the following examples to being happy in the Lord in spite of severe difficulties. Very challenging. And I hope that I could live out such joy if it came to me to go through such challenging, difficult times. But they're examples to us of how to be joyful, how to be happy in the Lord. That we can go first think of Maximilian Kolbe, that when he was locked up, volunteered for the starvation chamber with his fellow prisoners. That the jailers go and report that during his time in the starvation cell, that instead of hearing wailing, cursing, despair, that they heard the condemned men singing hymns, rejoicing in our Lord, showing that great joy and peace one can have in the Lord, even in facing death. Or you can go and think of Archbishop Romero, Saint Archbishop Romero, that he was asked by a newspaper reporter if he was aware that people wanted to kill him. And he goes and replies, "You can tell them they are wasting their time. You can kill a bishop, but they cannot kill the people of God. They cannot kill the church." That they go and eventually do martyr him, but they go and they cannot kill the church. They cannot kill us. But that is how we live out that joy of the gospel. How we live out having that happiness in the Lord. Even though we all face some kind of death at some point in our lives. I'm sure you'll agree that these two are very challenging examples of being happy in the Lord. But they remind us, as St. Paul reminds us today, that God wants us to be joyful. That He wants us to sing His praises. The Lord wills us to be joyful, that since the day we were baptized, we are sons and daughters of God. And we could say the words of our first reading were fulfilled in the lives of each of us the day we were baptized. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed judgment against us. He has turned away our enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, God the Father, is in our midst, and we have no more misfortune to fear, that we have His grace, being His adopted children. And He rejoices over us with gladness and renews us in His love that we find in the sacrament of penance, that He will sing joyfully because of us, as one sings at festivals. And you can imagine God rejoicing over us the day we were baptized by renewing His love in us. As we've heard in the gospel, John the Baptist told his listeners that he baptized with water, but Jesus was coming. The Messiah was coming, the one who is greater than he, who would baptize them with the Spirit and fire, that we received that baptism. That when we were baptized, we were touched by God. We were cleansed from original sin. We share in that divine life he gave to us. That God put his seal on us when we were baptized. So we have nothing to be fearful of. Nothing to be unhappy about. That all we have is to be joyful in the Lord. That, properly understood, our faith in God is a liberating force, liberating us from unhappiness, liberating us from a life of sin and death, helping us to find our joy in the Lord. And remember again the words of St. Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. That we can still rejoice today, 2,000 years later, because Christ is still present among us. That we still have his presence in the Blessed Sacrament. That his presence gives our lives true meaning. That it heals us, unites us to him more and more perfectly, configures us to the life of divine sonship. So that we look like him more and more. So that God the Father can recognize us better as his children. To be able to welcome us one day into heaven, where we all will be able to truly rejoice at that heavenly banquet.